Welcome to Reboot Republic, the podcast that goes behind the headlines and looks at the big issues in this republic of inequality. We are the podcast of solutions and the podcast of hope. And I'm your host, Rory Hearn, and I am delighted to be joined today by Jorge Coronado, who is a sociologist. He specializes in political economics. He is an expert in taxation, poverty, and social protection. He is a trade union advisor and a social activist. He is also part of the Comisión Nacional de Enlace in Costa Rica and is a member of the Red de Justicia Fiscal de América Latina y el Caribe and the Plataforma por Justicia Económica y Social in Latinidad. That's my attempted pronunciation, so hopefully Jorge will be happy enough with that. So, Jorge, first of all, could you give us your overall view on the tax deal?
Us at the Tax Justice Network of Latin America and the Caribbean, who are part of the Global Alliance for Tax Justice, have questioned this accord, as well as the other networks that make up the alliance. From the Latin American perspective, it can't even be considered a step in the right direction. Why do we say this? Firstly, because the OECD is the least democratic space for all international governance. It is a space dominated and hegemonized by the wealthiest countries of the Northern Hemisphere. Only they form part of it, and they want to impose the vision of the wealthy onto the rest of the world. In that sense, we've always questioned aspects that the OECD raises when they claim to stand for international transparency, international rules, and fair taxation. We have always seen it with reservation. Now, with this accord, we believe the OECD has shown its true colors by creating a minimum tax floor and turning it into a kind of roof, a higher aspiration of 50% tax rate. This is simply a measure that allows multinationals to continue eroding the finances of other countries in general via tax evasion and tax avoidance, i.e. fiscal fraud, which has been the case for many decades. We believe a 15% tax rate is absolutely unacceptable. There's already a corporation tax in many countries, including Latin America, of about 30 to 25% in corporation tax. This horizon, given by the OECD, G7, and G20, approaches or legitimizes all jurisdictions with low corporation taxes that are quite literally tax havens, such as Ireland, which has a 12% tax rate. Regrettably, the inclusive framework literally turns this measure into a global norm, which leaves countries, particularly in the Southern Hemisphere, at a disadvantage. Firstly, because of the low levels of corporation tax. Secondly, because it establishes that taxation can be collected where the corporation's address is registered, instead of where they make their profit, while their main sources of revenue come from Africa, Asia, and Latin America. The subsequent distribution leaves our countries with a very small fraction of this. And thirdly, the biggest problem is that the proposed plan for businesses that should be taxed at a low rate are multinationals that have a very large economic activity. In Latin America's case, the best case scenario, we will only have three countries that could receive a portion of this: Brazil, Argentina, or Mexico, which are the three big economies. But for example, small economies like the Caribbean or Central America do not exist for multinationals because they are much smaller markets. Data indicates that it is around 100 multinational corporations that will be obligated to pay these taxes. So in the continent, this measure will not have a real impact. All of these reasons have led us to strongly question this accord, suggest that what the OECD is doing is evading the responsibility of tackling tax fraud, and should support other measures that have been quietly proposed. We have been demanding public disclosures on a country-by-country basis, which will require multinationals to provide records for their sources of revenue by country. We want to know who the beneficiaries really are, to know who owns biggest anonymous entities, and mainly to globally forbid offshore companies and tax havens. This is not welcomed by the OECD in a decisive way. What the OECD actually does is to present this measure as in a global media display, presenting itself as effective fighters of tax fraud, which isn't true. And specifically, it isn't true for those countries that suffer the consequences of tax evasion and fraud.
Going to pause the podcast for a quick plug. We are live on November 10th in Dublin Sugar Club. We're going back live, all fingers crossed, and we are going to bring the podcast from across the platform. You'll see all the familiar faces, including myself, Rory, and the gang, and it will be a fun, informative, and I guarantee you, some laughs as well. So it's tickets are up right now on Eventbrite. So if you go to Eventbrite and check for Tortoise Shack, or you just click the link on the bottom of this podcast. Alternatively, if you are a patron supporter, go through that channel and it will simplify the process for you. It is, as I said, available on Eventbrite. Grab the tickets now, support this independent platform, and we hope to see lots of you there on November 10th in what is one of the best venues for podcasts in the country. Talk to you all very soon.
Can you explain the link between tax avoidance, or what we call increasingly is called, and rightfully so, tax abuse, and poverty and extending societal poverty?
The pandemic has made evident the asymmetry, the differences, and the inequality between the wealth of the Northern Hemisphere and the poverty of the rest of the world. It has also made evident within nations the barbarity of wealth accumulation by the economic elites, the ultra-wealthy, versus the vast majority that can barely afford to eat. The pandemic has shown us the worst of capitalism. Of course, while we have seen millions of people lose their jobs, homes, and all they had, the multinationals, as well as the ultra-wealthy, actually increased their wealth and assets. So I believe that the global political elites, in this case the OECD, as their kind of spokesperson, is trying to convince public opinion globally that they're worried, and they should be, because if this situation worsens, we will see social collapse at a global scale. What they seem to have done is a global media strategy to give an air of a grand historic act of propaganda in terms of taxation to something that effectively is well below the standards that the global situation requires. It seems evident that there's a media strategy to present a simple decision that does not resolve the problem into a historic event. Additionally, this is a measure that reinforces the difference between the Northern and Southern Hemisphere, because from the few taxes that will be collected from these 100 multinationals, 90% will remain concentrated in the same Northern Hemisphere, while the rest of us in the Southern Hemisphere will receive a 5 to 10% of what is gathered, and removes from the agenda the conversation of progressing the global movement for tax justice, transparency, equity, and real measures against tax avoidance, tax evasion, and fraud.
We've seen vaccine inequality during the COVID pandemic, as rich countries have used all the vaccines. We've seen issues around, you know, the pharmaceutical companies controlling the vaccines, rich countries not doing enough to extend vaccine availability to developing countries. Even though this actually makes more variants possible and probable in developing countries, which of course will affect the developed world as well, the rich countries. So we really aren't all in this together, are we? So how do we even begin to tackle that inequality when we see it in tax avoidance as well, this huge global inequality in tax avoidance?
The best example to answer this question is Latin America. Latin America is a region with the biggest levels of inequality in the world. Out of the 10 countries with the greatest levels of inequality globally, 8 of them are in Latin America. And unfortunately, I come from the 9th worst country, Costa Rica, so I know what we are talking about. This level of inequality requires excessive levels of wealth accumulation. It is the result of a taxation system that on one hand is supported by indirect taxes or consumption taxes, which are the most regressive taxes, because they don't discriminate between the haves and have-nots, regardless of our income level. But it is also one of the tax systems where those who have the most pay the least. 60% of the taxes in Latin America come from consumption taxes, and from the 40% of corporation taxes, the majority comes from income tax, meaning the salaries of the working class in the public and private sector. The biggest wealth does not pay taxes in Latin America. There's no inheritance tax, there's very low property tax, and there's an extremely high level of tax evasion, tax avoidance, and tax fraud. Which means that those countries cannot finance public policies because the state is financed by taxes. Otherwise, it is financed by debt. Therefore, Latin America has a regressive financial system geared towards consumption taxes and an extremely low tax burden on those who have the most. This increases inequality and widens poverty. The only way to fight inequality and poverty is to effectively redirect tax burdens onto those who have the most wealth, income, and property. Data shows that on average, poverty in Latin America affects roughly 40% of the total population, and in some places, up to 60%. The most dramatic aspect of this is that the poorest countries in Latin America are also the countries with the highest index of tax evasion and fraud, and where the tax system is even more regressive, which increases inequality. This is why movements for tax justice have been fighting for taxing and legislation to actually become a tool for wealth redistribution. If we force great economic elites to pay more and reduce consumer tax, we will guarantee more resources are available for people to leave conditions of poverty and for universal public policy to be developed to eradicate poverty so that we can improve social indicators. It is absolutely real that taxation and inequality are two parts of the same equation. Regressive taxation is followed by greater inequality and poverty, whereas progressive taxation is followed by less inequality and less poverty. This has been proven in multiple technical and scientific studies. They prove taxation and inequality are two parts of the same side. Inequality has been demonstrated through the pandemic, and the best example are vaccines. Data has shown that countries in the Northern Hemisphere have seen the expiration of 200 million vaccines. Meanwhile, in the Southern Hemisphere, Africa, Asia, Latin America's average vaccinated population oscillates between 20 to 25%. Vaccines show this asymmetry between the wealthy North and the poor South. Taking this discussion to Latin America, we have serious problems. One of the central problems in Latin America is the magnitude of tax fraud. Allow me to elaborate. The latest data available on VAT and income tax prior to the pandemic revealed the evasion of $335 billion per year. This represents about 6% of Latin America's GDP, which is extremely high. In Latin America, about 4% of a country's GDP is invested in health, and about 5% is invested in education. Tax evasion represents a higher portion of what is invested in either of these matters. $335 billion, for example, represents on average twice the amount of what governments invest in capital expenditure in Latin America. On top of this, there's evasion in foreign trade and illicit financial flows. Not because they respond to illegal activities, we're not talking about drug trade, contraband, etc. We're talking about activities that evade the existing tax structures. Manipulation of transfers in exports and imports represents roughly $85 billion per year, which is roughly 1.5% of the regional GDP. This, plus 6%, plus a capital flight of personal wealth, particularly in countries like Argentina, Mexico, and Brazil, could very well reach a gigantic figure nearing 10% of Latin America's GDP. We are talking about truly gigantic figures. And while all of these resources are lost to tax fraud, Latin America remains the region with the highest levels of inequality at a global scale, and the second poorest region after Africa. We must truly fight tax fraud, and particularly tax evasion, as the only mechanism to end these levels of inequality. How do we fight tax fraud? We must force multinationals to report their profits publicly, to eliminate offshore havens and hidden companies. We need to eliminate banking secrecy and tax secrecy, because these are established to evade and avoid taxes through a lack of clarity of financial activity. We must end and prohibit tax havens. These should be measures on a global scale, which should not be discussed at the OECD and the G20, but at the United Nations. The United Nations is a multilateral organism where all countries, rich and poor, are represented, where formally each country represents one vote. That's where a new global governance in terms of international taxation should be under discussion, where mechanisms should be established at a global scale to fight and eradicate tax avoidance, tax evasion, and fraud of all multinational corporations, not at the OECD, not at the G20. Not only are those 100 multinationals based in the Northern Hemisphere, they're also based in the 38 countries that make up the OECD. This is why the Tax Justice Network of Latin America and the Caribbean have raised the need to create a binding organism for tax legislation within the UN, where this new legislation is established. It is urgent, necessary, and if it is not established at the United Nations, it will be very difficult to put a limit to all the tax fraud that exists. We will reinforce the role of the UN. We will reinforce the participation of the global civil society. At the United Nations, civil societies and social organizations have methods of participation, whereas at the OECD and G20, that does not exist. And there's only limited possibilities to participate. And this is why we propose that the UN becomes the environment to discuss a democratic, inclusive, participatory proposal, which can actually control and regulate multinational corporations for the benefit of nations instead of for the benefit of multinational corporate power.
And finally, Jorge, where do you think or where do you see is there hope for real change?
I think there is. I live in a continent, Latin America, which we've defined as Latin America in dispute. There's those of us who believe in hope, a fair world, and in a different world of equality, inclusivity. And we are in a permanent dispute with the elites and the more conservative entities that don't want anything to change, that want everything to remain the way it is. It's a permanent fight to change the political elites because civil society and society in general must be empowered. This is why we've defended that taxation isn't a technical matter. Taxation is a matter of citizenship, because all taxes that are collected, that are administered properly, and that are reinvested for the benefit of the majority are in the interest of citizens, so they should have an opinion and define what type of tax system they want. This is why I'm optimistic. We need real change to remove, change, and transform the elites and to empower our citizens, our social organizations, and civil society for a different world. It's real, and we are living this in every country through political fights, in social struggles, and in the thousands of social activists. And that's why we define ourselves as activists for tax justice, for a better world that incorporates millions of people to a dignified and fair life. That is the purpose of our actions.
Really like to thank Jorge for giving his time to on Reboot Republic today. A really fascinating insight and something we really need to look at and think about and see how our policies and our role in the rich countries in terms of promoting tax avoidance, which of course adds to global inequality. But there is real hope for change, and it is in global solidarity and us creating a world where we promote and we set out that what matters is achieving human and planetary flourishing and not huge corporate profits and destruction associated with that. That our priorities are all wrong currently, and we have to change our priorities. And whatever system we have that we develop, it has to be one based on the values of social justice, and that is how we will get a world of equality, and tax avoidance will not be part of that. So there is real hope, and there is a need for real change on that. And so thank you, and reminder to our listeners, please become a supporter if you can of Reboot Republic. We're an independent produced podcast by Tortoise Shack Media. You can access Reboot Republic first. As a patron, it's sent out to our patrons first before it goes out on general release. And you can get that first into your inbox to have a listen. Sign up, become a patron, go over to patreon.com/tortoiseshack. Sign up for that and whatever you can each month. A fiver, a tenner, and you get access to the other podcasts as well first across the Tortoise Shack platform. And we know you value these podcasts. They have a real value. They're influencing, educating, informing, bringing voices who aren't getting the space or time in mainstream media, and in particular get the time to discuss these issues and in depth and in detail. And as always, we try and put a focus on highlighting inequalities, but also pointing out the solutions and really, I suppose, giving you food for thought, hopefully giving you something to do in terms of actions as well, and being able to talk and understand this better. And that's a real value. There's a value to that. And if you do value it, please become a supporter of ours. Go over to, as I said, patreon.com/tortoiseshack. Sign up for whatever you can each month and help us keep this show on the road, expanding and growing. Thank you very much for all of you listening, and we'll talk to you all soon.